because I wasn't trying to exit a cubicle. I love what I do. I'm still doing it now. It's been 10 years since I have not had to require this income.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still doing it. So I wasn't trying to exit medicine. I wasn't trying to get away. I just wanted to have the life that I thought I deserved.
Hello, Ray. This is Jake Senziano, host of the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Stenziano, I am doing good. Let's get a little Buffalo Bills reference in today, please.
Hey, man. You know, 25 years is a long time coming, and I represent for the Bills Mafia today on the show for the YouTube folks, you know? A little red, white, and blue, baby.
He's been smiling for the last couple of days uncontrollably, so I like it.
Listen, you go through the late 80s and early 90s, and my dad and I were glued to the TV, going to these games, freezing our butts off, and then you just turn it off. Okay, it was four Super Bowls in a row, and you just turn it off, so it's a long time coming, all right? So we're enjoying ourselves. Very special guest today. Today's guest is Tom Burns. Tom is an entrepreneur and orthopedic surgeon in Texas. He is also a physician for the United States ski team. Got a little sports action going on today, mm-hmm. Tom also has 25 years of real estate experience involving acquisitions, development, multifamily management, student housing, office projects, and manufactured housing. Ooh. And I know we're going to get into a little bit of the mindset of physicians today. So this is going to be an interesting one. So without further ado, Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Hey, you are a very unique individual. You have so much going on. And I just want to hear how you came up as a physician, but built a great real estate portfolio and did all the stuff with the ski team as well. That's a lot going on there. How do you unpack that for us a little bit?
Yeah. You know, a lot of it's probably just luck and uncontrolled attention deficit. But, I started my training. I had no financial training. I was an athlete when I was young, good enough to do a lot of things, but not good enough to get paid for it. So I decided I'll go into medicine, I'll go into orthopedics and sports medicine, and I can hang out with the people that I'm used to hanging out with. So I followed that path, got through medical school and all that, and was in my training. We do a thing called a residency where you're training to be an orthopedic surgeon. And it's there that I started noticing the guys that I was supposed to emulate. This is going to be my life in the future. And I'm watching these doctors who are making relatively staggering amounts of money at the time. They weren't happy guys. They were on their second or third marriage. They weren't seeing their kids. They were at the hospital at 8, 9 o'clock at night. And something just hit me in the back of the head and said, this is not the life I want. So not knowing anything else, I just researched and looked for something to try to make some money or some income that was not correlated with the world of medicine. And I fell on real estate. It fit my schedule, fit a busy surgeon's schedule. You know, I could do it with partners, I could do it by myself, I could do it part-time. And so I started learning about real estate, getting myself educated, and started small. And so I started very small and just jumped in, bought a thing or two here, got pretty good at one market. People started noticing and bringing me deals. Other people started noticing and wanted to be partners. I started to learn the value of having a partner or a team to help me do things. And it just organically happened over time. So it wasn't overnight. I often get envious of some of the people that really jump in and do it right. I had that doctor mindset. I had to fight that, the fact that I had to do everything by myself. So over time, eventually developed it. And at one point I was actually walking through my house and realized that my passive income had already eclipsed my orthopedic surgery income. And I kind of had to sort of sit down and decide what to do after that.
Oh, so man.
describe that feeling. I mean, what does that feel like when all of a sudden you're doing really well as an orthopedic surgeon, but then you see your passive income? What was that feeling? What was your next thought? Am I going to pack it in or?
Yeah. It was like, oh, what do I do now? You know, because I hadn't thought of it. I wasn't trying to exit a cubicle. I love what I do. I'm still doing it now. It's been 10 years since I have not had to require this income.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still doing it. So I wasn't trying to exit medicine. I wasn't trying to get away. I just wanted to have the life that I thought I deserved or that I'd sort of dreamed of when I was mm-hmm. younger. And so I sat and realized that what I had done is everything I had made from my real estate business and my outside investments, I had sort of poured back into that business. Mm-hmm. So it multiplied. The compound mm-hmm. effect, as Darren Hardy would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized that it had happened without me noticing. Mm-hmm. So I did sit back and think, wow, I can do whatever I want. So first thing I did was book a couple of big overseas trips and realized that I just didn't have to worry about whether or not I needed to be here working. I could kind of go anywhere I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of a feeling of freedom. And then another feeling of, you know, what do I do now? What do I do to contribute or to make my life better, to make other lives better? What's going to be the path? Mm-hmm. So I didn't make that decision fast. I kept limping along doing the same thing. And, you know, we all grow it at our own pace. And I sort of grew into wherever I am now.
Tom, can you describe, you just said the doctor mindset. What is the doctor mindset?
So, you know, physicians are, they're bright. You have to be bright to become a physician. All mm-hmm. book smart, focused, disciplined individuals. If you're going to get through college, med school, residency and training, you've got to be focused and disciplined and be able to take a lot of junk and reach that goal. But we all do have a goal, right? We've got mm-hmm. that goal to become a doctor. Then you sort of end up at the top of the heap. And that's not a bad thing, but you're used to performing your service, whether it's a surgery or seeing a patient and getting paid for it. That gets ingrained in that trading your time for your money gets ingrained in there. And if you're the surgeon, you're the only guy that can do it. So if that translates over to business, that's not necessarily so beneficial. If you feel like you're the only guy that can do something and you're the best at it, then you're not open enough to allow somebody to come in and help and scale and leverage your life and improve things. So I mentor a lot of doctors, and sometimes they, as we spoke before we started, sometimes they'll want to get into real estate and they want to go straight from not owning or ever being in any kind of real estate. And they want to go build a 200 unit apartment complex right away. So that because they believe they can do it. So that's mm-hmm. the mindset's more, I've got to do it myself. And that's a hard one to break. And I had to break it too.
So 0.3% of the population, you said in the book, about 1 million people in this country right. are doctors. So that's a very special and unique group of people. I mean, they're out there, they're crushing it. How did you, that's really a limiting belief. I think that's more of an assumption. When we talk about energy blocks and we talk about life coaching, that's an assumption because you're assuming it, right? The last 7 or 8 years you've gone through this training, you become really specialized, you're really amazing at it. And then all of a sudden you have to let go of that control. You have the autonomy to do what you want, but then how did you overcome that limiting belief, that assumption to get to where you are?
Yeah, mostly by getting punched in the face, to be honest with you. It took time. It really took time because my early real estate portfolio was mine. Mm-hmm. Part of it was making mistakes. The other part was life just started bringing other people into my life because I was in the industry and I opened myself up to meeting other people that were doing that. So it was a combination of fortuitously meeting other people and realizing that it didn't sometimes go so well if I tried to use my background and my knowledge because I didn't have it. I was trained as a specialist. I was trained as a doctor. I needed to learn how to be more of a generalist and a businessman and a real estate professional.
I love that. Can you describe how important mentorship was to you and to your career?
It was huge. And it's still today. I'm paying and seeking out mentors daily. I just, right before we got on, I've got a mentor for something that we're meeting the day before Christmas. So mm-hmm. what I did was I read, I asked people all the time, hey, I like what you do. Will you, you know, kind of show me what you'll do? And at one point I had a friend, I had a reasonable portfolio of smaller stuff. Some were starting to become multi-unit things, but it wasn't that big. And I realized I'd kind of gone beyond where I could go by myself. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who was real estate professional. He was a developer. We vacationed together. I just went to him and said, I really like what you do. Will you show me? And he said, sure. So I ended up working for that guy for 2 years, working mm-hmm. with him for 2 years, no pay. And we did all kinds of things. We did build to suits. We built banks. We looked for land for hospitals, all this stuff. I wasn't getting paid, but I was learning. And so seeking out that mentorship. And as I said in the book, that led to a very large medical complex that he and I built together and we still own today. So
I love that.
We never know where our paths are going to take us.
Mm-hmm. So you wrote an amazing book. I want to hold it up for everybody. I want to know, why did you write the book? Why Doctors Don't Get Rich? What was the genesis of the book?
All right. So it's, everything's a journey, right? So mm-hmm. I've got a friend of mine who wrote another really big book. Robert Kiyosaki and I'm in a small advisor group with him. And he basically at lunch one day said, "Tom, you got a good story. You ought to write a book." And so never wanted to shy away from a new challenge. And I'd probably always wanted to write one. I just said, okay. So the first genesis was to write the book, and he helped me come up with the title. Good title. But as I wrote the book, that's when I somewhat realized I was a little bit insulated from the problems of the doctors, because life was good for me, right? I had developed passive income. It wasn't covering, well, by then it was. I developed passive income, was enjoying being a doctor. Life was good. And maybe I was in a bubble. I started realizing how much pain there was and lack of hope there was out in the medical community and in the professional community at large. So it morphed from starting to write the book. It took me 2.5 years because things changed and there was a lot of revisions. Basically mm-hmm. became a mission to let folks know that there is hope, there is a way to design your life. And I would prefer to have as many doctors out there, as many doctors that are as free as me that can choose to do medicine. But Jake and Gino, when you guys are 80 years old, you want a happy doctor taking care of you. You don't want a guy that's burned out and doesn't want to be there. So that's the mission. I just want happy, joyful doctors that are there because they love medicine and they want to help people.
We don't want to feel rushed either when we're in the room.
Exactly. And that happens. My mm-hmm. practice got better and better and better when I started realizing I didn't need the money.
So Tom, I'm going to let Jake answer this question, but in the book, why do we need rich doctors? Jake, share for the audience your Dr. Neshi story, because I think this encapsulates exactly what Tom is talking about and why we need doctors that are rich and want to be there.
Yeah. And Tom, you may not know this. I was in pharma for like 8 years. And
that's right. I knew that.
And the kind of one of the epiphanies that I had, I was, this was right during healthcare reform, Affordable Care Act. And at the same time, what was happening, especially the internal medicine doctors, a lot of the cardiologists, they were kind of getting pushed into medical groups. Everyone's trying to band together, get their reimbursements up and everything. And a lot of the folks that I was interacting with in years prior had these small little practices, had a little team of employees around them, and had a lot of autonomy. Mm-hmm. That almost changed. I felt like for me, I saw it happen almost overnight. And then they got pushed into medical groups. They became employees, kind of going in, punching the clock, and to your point that probably not very happy, all of a sudden autonomy to employee. And it's all about numbers. It's like a doctor factory. How many patients can we get out? Right.
Right.
And so there was a doctor that I was calling on, and this had such a big imprint on my life, who was not, he was the only one left that didn't, it was internal medicine, that did not join a medical group. And later what I found out is because he owned a ton of real estate. So awesome. He remained being the internal medicine doctor. Mm-hmm. He remained living life on his own terms. And he was the most generous with his time. He was always out volunteering for different things and very much a charitable guy. And the moral of the story is, he was able to keep his autonomy, give more back to society, live a happier life than everyone else that got pushed into the W-2 role. And it was created through freedom via real estate. So it's just huge impact on my journey and what really pushed me to, becoming a multifamily investor.
That's a great story. You just encapsulated the mission of the book
was one guy though, out of an entire, I probably was covering two counties at least, Westchester and Putnam there. So that's a lot of folks, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's a shame. So it's when you're getting none of you, you're hard pressed to find a doctor that got into it for the money.
Yeah.
It's a good living for sure. And still a good living, probably always will be, but they didn't get into it for the money. There's a lot better ways to make money. As you guys know, you teach mm-hmm. people how to do that. So if you can mix the two together, you had this happy doctor who was doing it for a good reason. I'm doing it for the same. I'm completely unemployable. I cannot be an employee. I can't have a 30-year-old clinic manager saying you need to up your numbers and that sort of thing.
And then yelling at you about your software, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a joy. So I can treat people for free. You know, everybody's got my phone number, all my friends call. I treat folks for free if they need it. I don't want a bunch of people coming in to get treated for free, but I do it all the time. And I make very, very little money as a doctor. And I happen to be in this particular office today about a year. And just about a year ago, we shut down an old practice and I thought I was going to have to retire. And one of my investors happened to be a physician. He goes, man, you need to join us. And so I'm in here with another group of independent guys.
Oh,
and
cool.
Going to do it as long as I can.
Yeah.
So this is great. In the book, you talk about financial freedom. I mean, I know you're living it, but what does financial freedom mean to you? It seems like you broke it down into the mental and the financial.
Sure. It's taken financial freedom. It seems like such a buzzword, such a catchword, but it's just something that frees your mind. It takes pressure off. It gives you the chance to consider possibilities and you can do what means most to you in life. And that might be not working and staying at home playing with your kids. It might mean contributing to something. It might mean a passion and overseas to help somebody that needs help. It gives you options. I think freedom is basically choices, and you can choose how you best wish to serve you and your fellow man and your mission in life. So that's sort of the mental portion of freedom. The financial portion's really simple, and Kiyosaki's got a great way. It's how many days can you live without working? And so if it's infinite, then you're free. So you can, I know a lot of physicians who make staggering incomes, but aren't free. And I know people that make a lot less money, but they are free. Good story. I was sitting the other day with a 26-year-old guy and we're sitting there. He was interviewing me. We were talking and he was all impressed with you. You must have all this money and stuff. And you're a doctor. You've got all this prestige. But then he's telling me he's got a house in Boston. He's got an apartment in Boston, an apartment in Austin. He had spent 5 weeks in Argentina just because he wanted to see what it was like to live in Argentina. He was about to go to Colombia for five weeks or 5 months just because he'd heard it was cool there and it was a tech hub. So me with my whatever my bank account and all that stuff is envying the 26-year-old guy because he's got the freedom to go wherever he wants in the world. So you define freedom however you wish. Everybody's got a different definition.
For me, it's working with who you want to, when you want to, where you want to, and why, basically. You just want to, people who work at a high level and become financially free, I tend to see them as not wanting to retire, to continue. Yep. And I'm working probably harder now than when I was working at my restaurant. So, and I don't see it as work. I am quote unquote, not chasing money anymore. I am more chasing opportunity and trying to chase value. I understood that once I became financially free, it wasn't always about me and about paying the bills anymore. It was about, okay, what can we do to start creating these multiple streams of revenue, whether it's creating an education company, creating a syndication company, whatever that looks like. When I'm stuck in my 9-to-5 and at the restaurant, I can't really help that many people other than myself, my family, and maybe some close ones. Now, the financial freedom allows me to pay for vacations for other people, allows me to go to Knoxville for the weekend to do a Christmas party and not stressed about the bills. When I get a $5,000 dentist bill from my kids, it's like, okay, I can pay that. I don't have to worry about pushing it off. I used to be a joke with my family and my kids about 5 or 6 years ago. I get, you know, these dentist bills and they go, well, $7,000. I'd be like, I'm not paying for that. Right. It was just a thought that I was just so tight fisted because I needed to be right. But the financial freedom, it allows you to do certain things that without even worrying about it. And that's it's such an amazing relief for me that I can do those things. So that's what it is to me. Tom, if I'm a doctor right now and no chance of me being a doctor, but what are my next steps, right? What do I do? Like, I'm listening to this. I'm like, this sounds awesome. How do I start thinking like a business person? You know, what are my next steps to start thinking about really investing, right? Whether it's in real estate, whether it's in the stock market, whether whatever vehicle they choose. I think real estate is an amazing vehicle for doctors because of tax benefits and all. But what are the next steps that I need to take to start going down this journey of financial freedom?
Sure. If you've just tuned into this, but the first thing is listen to podcasts like this. And there's yours is great. There are plenty. There's a podcast for absolutely everything you want. And then read. Mm-hmm. It's great. That helps. You've just got to read. I'm a voracious reader. And I suggest everybody do that. But you can't move much forward just by getting educated. You got to have some action to it. Mm-hmm. And seek out people that are doing this. Seek out meetup groups. You know, these days most things are virtual, which is painful for me. I like the mm-hmm. physical contact, but it's going to end at some point. Find meetups, find groups of people that are talking about the things that you like, or that the things you think you might like. You'll find out what they're like. What happens mm-hmm. there is, number one, you start learning more. You start just developing it by osmosis. It just sort of seeps into your soul, and you start understanding terms and motivations and what's possible. And then you're also meeting people that have the same goals. They're on the same path. You're all rowing in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And so that's where opportunities will develop. So you need to get around people. As Jim Rohn said, you're the average of the five people you hang around with. Mm-hmm. We'll start associating with people that are moving in that direction, and you'll be shocked when you realize that you don't know what you don't know. You will be shocked when you find out what opportunities are out there and how big the world is and how much abundance there really is if you're just willing to learn, be humble, stow your ego, and work with others. And it's a fun life. You get to do things like this. All three of us don't have to work, and we're just having a good time like this.
Is this work? I mean, Gino's calling it work. I don't think this is work. So
this is a blast. This is fun. I love doing this.
Yeah. Do you mind if I add one thing to that, Tom?
Sure.
So for me, when I was in the restaurant, my identity was the pizza guy. Jake's identity when he was doing pharma was the pharma guy. As soon as I started identifying like a business owner, even like from the restaurant, I had one little small business. Once I started thinking of myself of having a portfolio of real estate, and once I started thinking of myself and identifying as a multifamily investor, that really helped me, right? Because belief is a lot. If you think you can do it, you can. Just like, you know, Henry Ford said. And I think that belief was really important for me. So if I can identify as an investor, and how do you do that? Like you said, surround yourself with communities, like-minded individuals, others who think like you. And there are so many different groups out there, whether they're Facebook groups, whether they're education groups, whatever it is out there to satisfy that belief. And I think the other thing is, look at what your values are. I mean, I can see that Tom really values his financial freedom. He really values creating things and creating multiple streams of revenue. And what are your values? Seek out your values. For me, it was really taking control of myself and building it for my family and trying to be able to give to others, trying to be charitable. So work towards those goals. If you can think of your identity and your values, it'll really hone in, because I think ultimately your goals equal your objectives plus your beliefs. Like if you believe you can do it and you surround yourself with those like-minded people, it'll really help you out. So go out there and become clear. I mean, doctors, you're all amazing at focusing on what you're doing. What you focus on grows. If you start focusing on your financial freedom and taking control of your financial future, that will grow. And how do you do that? You know, listen to Tom's steps and read Tom's book. That will really help you out. So
that's beautifully put. And you don't have to give up your identity as a doctor.
Yes.
I don't think I have to not be a doctor. You can have multiple identities and not be schizophrenic. It makes your identity as a doctor better. So that's beautifully put, well put.
And I love that too, because doctors, you have an amazing, you can posture up, right? I mean, you have an amazing skill set. I mean, when you have the DR in front of your name right now, you're qualified, you're credible. I mean, real estate investors are out there looking for you, right? We're looking to partner with you. So, I mean, be open to that. That's what we're looking for. So I think that's really important. What I want you to talk to the listeners about, I love in the book, you have the four pillars of real estate. If you really talk about these four pillars, I think doctors will get really excited about the opportunity and the possibility of that vehicle we call real estate.
Right. So, yeah, I often talk to groups of doctors about, I sort of talk medicine, money, and real estate. And when I get down, and just because sometimes they don't actually know how to think about money. I'm not saying that in a mean way, but they just don't necessarily know how to think about it. And when you get down to real estate, we are used to, as I said before, we're used to doing a service, getting paid for it. Maybe we get paid. We're like carpenters. We just get paid a little higher wages than the carpenters. Mm-hmm. In real estate, you've got the main thing. One of the main themes in the book is pillar number one is cash flow. It comes in whether you're sleeping, whether you're operating, whether you're seeing patients, or whether you're on vacation or playing with your kids. And that's a strange and abnormal feeling for a doctor, lawyer, any professional, because you're used to you're used to performing an act to get it. Mm-hmm. It's a strange feel. And then you get addicted to it. And you get a little bit addicted to cash flow. And then the other benefits, the main benefit for the physicians, we'll go down to tax benefits. There's none. As a doctor, there's some if you're running your business. But these days, like Jake said, most of them are employees. A lot of them are W-2. That eliminates a lot of opportunities for tax savings. And we all know it, every dollar in tax you save is an immediate dollar profit. It's immediate profit. So there are staggering tax benefits in real estate. I usually show this little example of, you know, making this much money and showing that the tax that was paid on it, which, you know, often is close to zero. So it mm-hmm. can be done. We make ordinary income as physicians. You make portfolio income if you're investing in the stock market. You make passive income in real estate. And the government likes housing, likes real estate, and they give a lot of tax breaks. Mm-hmm. The other portions are amortization. And you know, somebody else is paying your bills. And that's a point that physicians aren't quite used to as well. Get somebody else to pay your debt, provide a nice service, a nice place for somebody to live. And people are more than happy to give you their money, pay for that mortgage and a little bit extra. So cash flow, amortization, depreciation, I forgot. And appreciation is the other one. Even mm-hmm. as you move on through active work on your own, making a property better or doing something to make it better, make it worth more, or just inflation, properties generally, but not always, they're going to rise in value. So those four things work together to increase the value of your portfolio, increase your net worth if that's important to you, and potentially increase your cash flow. And once you get those systems down, you do it once, then you just go do it again. And if you don't have time to go do it again, you partner up with somebody and take a smaller piece of the pie and make lots of pies.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Before we get to the personal growth questions, what other assets do you like in this part of the cycle? Are you looking at stock market? Are you looking at any other real estate investments other than multifamily?
Yeah, I am not a stock market guy. Not that I don't like it. It's not good for Tom Burns. I don't have the time to look at it. And I don't.
Right there with you.
I had a nice portfolio and was going to get a very large influx of money. So I decided this is going to have some sort of management. So I interviewed three different financial planners. You know what all three of them said when they looked at my balance sheet? Can you guess? Tom, you got to get out of this or these alternative investments. We got to get you out of this.
You're too heavily weighed in real estate, right?
Yeah. Got to get you out of this.
Look, it's about the control, right? They want to be the one driving the ship on that and getting the fees. So
yeah, exactly.
Diversification is we'll get some A properties, maybe some B properties, and we'll do a couple different cities. Okay, we keep it simple.
Like that.
So yeah. So these days, so it's difficult to find yield now, and so I have to advise people to be patient, keep looking, but be patient. There's always a good deal in up markets and down markets. There's always mm-hmm. good deals. It's just sometimes a little harder. We chose probably roughly 8 years ago to stick with multifamily because, you know, my partner and I have both been through a number of recessions and we're aware that multifamily built right or bought right does well through a recession. You may not make money. You might make money, but at least you'll typically not lose your property if things get really bad. Mm-hmm. So we've seen that happen. I remember the days of 3 months free rent and a free flat screen TV on some apartments, but those places kept their ownership. So we stuck with multifamily, and I think the numbers bear out that we're still looking pretty good over the next 5 to 10 years. I like industrial and I like storage. I tend to partner with folks that have expertise in that area if we're going to guide our investors that way. And I like, we will also do private equity, meaning some might call, it's kind of like hard money lending, but mm-hmm. you guys understand we'll do some mezz debt and we'll do some private equity to maybe not share as much on the upside, but have a more guaranteed and risk hedged investment for our investors. So those are the two things we're doing now.
I like that. So Jake, before we get to the personal growth, two quotes I want everyone to think about as they're listening on. Multifamily is a basic human need. It's food, clothing, and apartments. Those are the three basic needs. We need a place to live. And the second
the millennial playbook.
And the second thing is, I want everyone to really
got the cell phone. Sorry.
I want everyone to think about this question, because for me, it really dawned on me once I was hitting that financial freedom. Are you working hard for your money, or is your money working hard for you? When I saw that I was really working hard for my money, I felt sort of guilty because I needed to get those little soldiers, that money working harder for me. And once you can understand that and start applying that to your life, man, everything starts to change, because you're not here just to save money. You're here to save money and invest it and continue to invest it. And you can start small, start with a few bucks, start with $100, $200, create that financial freedom account, but don't save money just to save for an event. Save money to buy an asset and let that asset continue to replicate and continue to make money.
100%. 100%.
Make sure it's paying you every month. That's the key. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now. All right, we're back. You know, coming off Gino's little richest man in Babylon, the money of the soldiers quote, we're gonna get into some personal growth stuff here. Tom, what is your best habit for success?
I think it's persistence. I think it's persistence. I have run down so many rabbit holes and made enough mistakes that I've been slapped in the face a few times, but I just didn't want to stop. My whole soul and my whole goal was to have freedom so that I could choose to design my own life. So if something didn't work, I either learned how to do it better or moved on to something else. And it took me time to focus in. As I said, I've got a little of that attention deficit. I looked at a lot of stuff, but I kept going. So persistence will the tortoise and the hare story is real. Persistence will win the game. Time will make a good investment look great, and sometimes make a bad investment look good. So you'll look smart if you look back and you just keep on.
Stick with it. They're printing enough money, right? Keep that fire in your belly and just hang on.
You bet.
I've never asked anyone this, but I've been revisiting Principles by Ray Dalio. How do you approach decision-making, and have you, you know, ever pondered that?
Yeah, not actively sat and decided how I make decisions or thought about how I make decisions, but it's probably a quick pros and cons thing in the head. Don't write it down. I have a time or two, done a little sheet one side or the other, but I try to determine if my decision's going to make my life or my family's life better in the long run, because sometimes you can look at an opportunity to go make a lot of money, but maybe for me, it's going to take a bunch of time, or I have to travel a lot to go quote, make that money. Mm-hmm. That's not going to give me what I want. I want to be home. When I was young, I wanted to be home. I wanted to be the guy meeting my kids at the bus at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And those were the things that got me excited. I wanted to travel for fun. I didn't want to travel for work. So I think I use that whole sphere of what I believe is my ideal life and what suits the world best for me to do and what suits me best. Mm-hmm. And I use that as a lens to decide if it's a good decision or not.
It's very smart, because you're looking at second and third order consequences, not just, is the thing going to throw off yield? How's it going to impact me, you know, two steps, three steps down the road?
Right. And you can see the shiny penny, and sometimes you got to step back. There's been a time or two I've picked up the penny. You know, I'm not perfect for sure. But over time, with a few gray hairs, you realize that taking a deep breath, stepping back, and looking second and third order really does serve you better.
And what about your, you know, you mentioned you had a partner who was a developer and using mentors. You know, when you kind of, do you look at, okay, this person's done it, I believe them, I trust them. Have you also utilized that as well?
Oh, absolutely. Just the fellow that I'm meeting in 2 days is a super successful guy. I paid big money because I've been on a goals quest since August of 2019. I always had goals. It was to create passive income, travel, be a great dad, do all those things. But there's a lot of other things in life that maybe I haven't done. And what do you hear all the time? You hear, write down your goals, get an accountability partner. Well, guess who hasn't done that for a lot of years? So I've decided that that's what I need to do. So I paid money because this guy's a goals fanatic and a goals savant. So I paid
for it. And is it working?
It is working. Yes, sir. Good. Getting better at it.
Excellent. Excellent.
Goals and habits.
Yes. What about a tip for scaling? Because you've obviously worked, I'm sure you've worked with, you know, managers and you've built the business out and the asset management and everything. I think that's one of the things people struggle with in real estate, because they may take that massive action, get educated, then they get in the game, but really then it's a business and it comes down to your people, systems, and culture. Right. So any tips, you know, after you had your portfolio and how you scaled from that point?
Yeah, to go back to the previous question, if you don't know how to do it, you can get a mentor or somebody that's done it, get in some group or somewhere that's done that before. And teams, you know, create a team. Again, that sounds cliche, but you've got to create a team. You can't scale without it. And that team could be just a partner, depending on the size of what you want to do. And over time, you basically start sitting back and realizing where's my best value. Is my best value doing this spreadsheet, or do I need to hire an analyst? Is my best value talking to brokers, or do I need to hire an acquisition specialist or development specialist? You start realizing where Tom or Jake or Gino's best talent is, and you want to focus on that, because that becomes the rainmaker function, and you delegate everything else out. Not such a good talent for doctors, and wasn't such a good talent for me either. It took me time to do that.
We call it the I'm a mentality. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do everything. We got stuck into that until we realized, hey, you know, I'm not a very good bookkeeper. We got to start subbing some of this stuff out. And that's where we made a transition. And look, you said, you know, a team member, or, you know, a team, you look for also a players, right? And I think that's the key to good growth, is getting the right people on the bus with you. That makes such a huge difference.
And Jake, Ima may be good at cutting and using the chainsaw, but Ima's only getting paid $10 an hour to do that. So Ima should be doing something more
productive.
Gino's
picking on me right now because I love landscaping. Like, you know, I'm a total nerd. I enjoy watching some Bills football and cutting a couple trees down on the weekend. It's my
sanity. Where were you from? Where you live?
Dude, I grew up in the woods in Western New York. Okay. What do you expect?
Just checking.
Hey, there's something to be said for relaxation too, even if it is with a chainsaw in your hand.
Relaxation doesn't mean sitting down. Okay, it's a stress relief. Okay, it's what gets it out. I like quiet. I like a little hum, you know, in the background, and just being away from people. So that's my thing.
My relaxation is climbing mountains.
Same shit. Let's get out in the wild a little bit. Yeah. What about tips for partnering? Because we touched on the A players. How do you vet a partner?
If you've got the option, try to get to know them.
Yes.
My current partner in our multifamily company, we met in 2001, and I always joke, I say we dated for 7 years while
it's important.
He was moving around doing things, and we bounced into each other. And so, well, the best way to get to know him, he came in, operated on his shoulder. So I intimately know that guy. But I don't think everybody can do that.
Is that like a HIPAA violation or no?
But you got to get to know him, and you're still going to make mistakes. And again, I've made them all. That's why I'm here. The guy that's the most successful has made the most mistakes. But
and then they then learn from them and reflect
exactly
on that pain, right?
Yeah. You don't take a lesson from your mistake. You've wasted a good mistake. So
well said.
You try to get to know them. You can get, if you don't have enough time to really get to know them, you might ask them you might want to get in some nitty gritty, look at a balance sheet, get some references, things like that. See if they'll show you a tax return. Good partner that's going to be with you for 20 years won't mind doing that. Background checks don't hurt if you want to do that. And then going forward, just be protected.
If it's good enough for your residents, it's good enough for your partner. All right.
Exactly. And so, and handshake, this is Texas. You know, I have done big 7-figure handshake deals. Don't do those anymore. And you got a partner that you really like, I suggest you put down all the stuff you love about each other and what you're going to do if things go bad on paper, because as soon as
business prenups.
Yeah, exactly. People get married and divorced, businesses come together and divorces happen. So it's a lot nicer when you've got something on paper for, we don't agree, let's trigger the mechanism to get this finished so that we can both move on.
Very good. What about a book recommendation? I know you have yours. We touched on a little bit earlier. Anything you've read recently that will, you know, benefit society here?
All right. A little sycophantic answer. I loved your book. I love The Honeybee. And
all right. We'll take that one. We did not pay him to say that.
They did not pay me to say this. It was, and I'm a little bit envious. Having written a book, I would like to write a book like that sometime. I love storybooks that have lessons. So that was fabulous. Prior to that, as I mentioned, I'm on a goals quest. So I read an old book by Brian Tracy, but the one that I really enjoyed was Atomic Habits and Tiny mm-hmm. Habits. Mm-hmm. Good books. Our life is, we are defined by our habits.
So that's James Clear, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Excellent. So that was a good one. And then back to the old basics, depending on what you want to do. I still like Robert's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. There's probably a few people in the world that haven't read it still. It's a good start.
The number one finance book of all time. So if you're interested in money, you probably read that one, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then I will pull out a mindset book. I'll pull out a little Eckhart Tolle or Mark Singer sometimes. It takes me a long, long time to get through those, but it does jog my brain a little bit. So, but I think the most recent one, I like Atomic Habits. I like that one cool. a lot.
Yeah, very good. Very good. What project are you excited about right now?
So we're moving into a new city. We've got two projects there, and we're basically looking at moving across the tracks and providing a nice, really nice upscale apartment complex in an area that's going to gentrify, and we're going to be probably the first one there. So
rolling
really excited.
Dice.
Yeah, it sort of mirrors what happened in my hometown. There was nobody went to the other side of the interstate.
Until somebody did.
Somebody finally did, and it's high dollar real estate now because it's right next to downtown. So we're in another city. I'll have to kind of keep that quiet, but we're in another city and doing the same thing. We're pretty excited about that. So we're already talking to the city powers, and we're moving on that now.
That's awesome.
Very, very cool. Gina, hold up the book again. Let folks know where they can get the book, where they can get a hold of you, and all that good stuff.
Ah, you bet. So you could send an email to hello@richdoctor.com. I'll be happy to answer your questions, send you what you need. And the website is richdoctor.com. There's some resources there, some real estate resources that can be helpful. I put out a newsletter every couple of weeks. I'm still learning how to do that, but it's helpful tips. And it's a mix. It's like y'all. It's part mindset and it's part hard tips. You know, not everything is how to underwrite a real estate deal. A lot of it starts in the mind. And if you don't get the mind right, then the underwriting is not going to make much sense to you anyway.
And trust me, you want rich doctors, okay? You want your doctors to be happy, calm, and relaxed when they're working on you. And money is just a tool, folks, all right? So look, you want to impact society, get rich and get a rich doctor, because that's the sweet spot. G-Dad, take us home here.
So Tom was an athlete in high school, wanted to probably become an athlete, a professional. Decided to go into orthopedics because he could hang out with the athletes, right? And, you know, it was a seek to serve mentality. That's what doctors are there for. They're not really, they really don't go into the profession, the majority of them, for the money. They go into serve, which is a really cool concept. But I think at the time you start getting straddled with debt and you start losing focus of maybe creating a business or trying to work to pay off loans or whatever, and you start losing that concept. And then Tom, I think he picked up Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I think that's what ended up happening. I think that changed his mind. And he said, you know what? I can start taking control of my financial future. I love being a doctor. I don't want to ever stop doing that, but maybe doing it on my own terms. Buys a deal. He buys another deal. Then all of a sudden, one day, he's probably sitting at the kitchen table and he's like, wow, my passive income just exceeded my doctor income. It's an amazing feeling.
Ding, ding.
And from there, he just started continuing to grow and continue to create these relationships. He writes this amazing book, Why Doctors Don't Get Rich, right? And I love all the anecdotes in there. I love the stories in there. I love the four pillars of real estate. And I think for all the doctors out there, if you haven't read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, let's start with that book. That is the genesis of understanding what an asset is, what a liability is. It's all the foundation, right? And then after that, pick up Tom's book and start reading Tom's book and understand that, like Jake said, money is only a tool, and start looking at relationships, start building networks, and start figuring out what your ultimate goal is with your profession and what you end up wanting to do. Because I want all doctors to live life on their terms. I want doctors to say to themselves, I want to go to work today. I don't have to go to work. Because when you want to go to work, but don't have to, you're going to perform at an even much higher level. So.
Well said.
Mr. Stenzi.
Yeah, I think there's a podcast out there called Dr. Death. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, there's a podcast out there called like Dr. Death or something, and you don't want that doctor. Okay. You don't want the guy trying to find ways to cut corners. Okay. So.
I love that. Tom, we want to thank you for being on the show today. And you know, do take care and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing.